This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
I am Chris Taylor. I run Actionable.co, which is a change enablement software company that helps change consultants measure and scale behavior change.
Chris, how are you involved with user adoption?
That's a great question. It was fun to prep for this conversation. I think, you know, at the end of the day, every change program requires three things in our experience. It requires a clearly articulated end state, a vision of sort of that hope for future. It requires the systems and process to make that change happen, to reduce friction and set a clear path and to sustain that new reality. And third, it requires the individuals impacted and involved in that change to actually change the way that they work. And we at Actionable are obsessed with that last piece around helping individuals adopt the new behaviors that will make the change process successful. And so really, this is about user adoption of a process, of a vision, of a strategy, helping them to make that a new reality.
Chris, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with user adoption?
Good question. I think, you know, the success and challenge, success and failure, if you will, in change programs, and as by extent of that, the user adoption of those changes is really two sides of the same coin for me. I was thinking about two clients that we had last year that, despite their differences, had a lot of similarities. They're both about 50,000 employees, so large, complex organizations, both with distributed teams, one nationally, one internationally. They're both working on larger scale change programs that impacted the frontline leader, that person that's in that sort of crucible between the demands of the frontline staff and the expectations of senior leadership. So time-starved people with competing priorities. One of the programs was a safety culture adoption. It was around helping the frontline leaders adopt new safety practices and to instill those safety practices in their frontline workers. This was a multinational engineering firm. The other client, and that was a national logistics company, was involved in a leadership program, helping frontline leaders to enact different behaviors to be a more impactful leader for the people on their team, ostensibly for the purposes of retention and productivity and reducing absenteeism, those types of things. And in both programs, they had excellent content. They had equally excellent facilitators, the deliverers of that content. They had a similar structure of content being sort of parceled out over time with pockets carved out for discussion groups. So on the surface, both these programs had an equal sort of likelihood of success. And yet we found that the engineering firm experience was a raging success. They improved their safety metrics by over 200% at their own sort of internal measurement. And as importantly, they sustained the behavior change. 8 months later, they were seeing the same heightened levels of safety metrics. The leadership program, that national logistics company, saw literally zero impact on their metrics. In essence, the investment, as they've been calling it to date, was actually an expense. And at the end of the day, when we dug into the data through Actionable to understand why there was such a stark difference between the two, we found that the key differences were simple, but fairly obvious, and I think universally applicable. One was that the engineering firm had focused a substantial amount of the time, particularly up front in the program, on providing the space and the prompts for the individuals in the program to find their own motivation for change. And it sounds obvious when I say it, but there was a subtle difference here because they weren't being told why the change was important. They weren't even necessarily being told why the CEO thought the change was important. They were being told the facts about the content that they were going to be working through and given the time and space for them to find their own reason to engage with the change. And it's an interesting move on the part of the facilitator and the client overall in this case, where there's a risk, of course, in not telling them why it's important, but letting them come to their own realization as to why it's important, because in the back of our heads, we go, what if they don't? What if they don't think that it's important? And I would suggest that that's going to happen anyway, no matter how strongly we tell someone that this change is important. If they don't believe it, they're not likely to act on the required change for themselves and for their teams. It's a quote that I'm sure I'm misquoting, but it's that idea that if you tell the people the truth, they'll believe you some of the time. If they tell themselves the truth, they'll believe themselves all of the time. And I think one of the major factors separating success from challenge in user adoption and change by extension is giving people the space to find their own why, to find their own reason for the change. The other two were more tactical, but I think equally useful. Leadership buy-in. In the case of the engineering firm, the successful program that was doing the safety program, they really, at a leadership level, they'd scheduled it in, spotlighting wins, challenging non-adopters, sending updates out to the global base so that there was sort of that spotlight on the program and made clear that senior leadership was watching. And on a localized level, they reviewed the impact, not just our own experience with how we've engaged with the change. What did we try? What didn't we? They did that in both programs. But in the case of the successful program, they fed back insight into the tangible impact that this program was having. In the case of the safety program, literally saving lives. So being able to showcase the outcome, basically the impact of the hard work of changing behavior, led to that sustained behavior change.
Chris, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
I think it's really easy for us to get excited about our own product, our own programs. And for us, we're bought in, hopefully by definition, to the programs that we're driving or involved in. I think we need to flip that assumption when we're dealing with a user base that's not us, which is to assume that we're dealing with a low level of interest or attention at the beginning. I really struggled to find a negative to taking that approach. Either people are going to be at or above expectations if we set those expectations lower. Not to say that we should lower our expectations around the outcome of the program, but to assume that we're dealing with a low level of interest or attention at the beginning. I think as human beings, we're all stretched too thin. And until we understand something and have found the so what for us, we're unlikely to change ingrained behaviors. And so if you want to improve user adoption of anything, I think there's value in leaning into behavior science. Articulate for yourself the new behaviors you're trying to instill. Actually write them down. What's the, in the end state, not just the business impact, but how is the user acting differently, thinking differently, showing up differently at the end? And then there's really three questions that we encourage clients to ask themselves. Once you have that sort of end state of how they are acting differently, what behaviors have shifted, asking yourself, what do they need to change? So what are the tactical pieces they need to change? Why would they want to change? Not to tell them your answers, but to just have it in your own head and to create prompts for them to come to their own realization. And then third, what's the path of least resistance in helping them understand the content, the what that they need to change, and finding their own context, the why behind the change itself?
And Chris, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Sure. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a consultant or a facilitator of change, you can visit actionable.co. That's speaks more to consultants. And if you're internal to an organization, you can check out habitbuilder.co. That's .co. That'll give you more sort of language and positioning that explains it in context to your change work.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.